Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. I hope all of you are having fantastic Mondays wherever you are across this great country or this great land. A lot going on, a lot of you with different holiday-related gatherings, shopping season, so many details to be on top of. A lot of you going to be on the road. I want to encourage you to go subscribe to the Clay and Buck podcast, as we know many of you will be out and about with your family and your friends. Maybe, just maybe you're in mixed company. Maybe you need a little bit of sanity because you're having to hear your crazy left-wing COVID-obsessed family and you just can't take it. Maybe you can come listen to us. We'll be there for you to hang out with all the way up to Christmas Eve. And then we're going to have... we'll be out for a week, but all that, we want to set a new record in December and encourage all of you to go download, subscribe to the podcast. Bit of news here. The stock market, Buck, we were just talking about this off the air, has been wildly, wildly reactive to the Omicron threat, as it were, and what exactly was going to be the impact. Dropped 1,000 points in the immediate aftermath of the reports from South Africa. Well, Buck, right now the stock market is up 700. The Dow is up 723 points right now. That's up over 2%. So for some of you who may have been looking over the last week and noticing that the Dow had made a substantial decline as the threat was out there about what exactly might be taking place as it pertains to Omicron, Dow is up 2% right now, and we have got the S&P 500 up just shy of 1.5%. So it seems that the fear that has been out there associated with this newest COVID variant is starting to get dialed back at least a bit in terms of the financial world. Again, the stock market took a real beating last week, and on the Friday after Thanksgiving, associated with Omicron. We're a couple of weeks in now. People seem to be calming down a bit. Also want to mention, I saw this story, Buck. We're going to talk about Kamala Harris and her collapse. Did you see this story? Over the weekend, the last member of E Company from the Band of Brothers group, 99 years old, I believe that he was. For those of you who read that fantastic book, one of the most remarkable stories about the Band of Brothers in World War II. But the first time those guys had ever been in an airplane, we're talking about kids who had grown up 17, 18 years old, farms, rural areas, as they are training in Georgia. The Band of Brothers group, E Company, that would be a part of the 101st Airborne. The first time most of them ever got on an airplane, Buck, they parachuted out of it. Can you, I mean, when I've read that story, because it's such a fantastic book, Band of Brothers, and obviously I know a lot of you watch the HBO miniseries as well. Can you imagine the sheer testicular fortitude from those guys? Think about however old you are, the first time you ever got on an airplane, how scared, how nervous you were. The first time those guys ever got on an airplane, Buck, they went up in the air and they jumped out with parachutes. I mean, that's just a different level of bravery, man.
It is. It is. I will tell you, the first time I ever got into a helicopter, Clay, it was a Black Hawk with a couple of 240 Gulfs on it that they actually had ready to roll because we were in a war zone. So that was my first ever helicopter.
That's
experience.
Pretty scary, too.
That was interesting, I got to say. And it wasn't a one-off. There was a lot of that going on. Black Hawks, Chinooks, all kinds of stuff. But I will say you were thankful to be in the air because at least then you didn't have to worry about the IEDs on the ground, which when I was in Humvees and other things, that was always a much more, that was more concerning in the immediate sense. Although when you're up in a helo and there are guys who are all armed up, you just hope that it's a good day's flight. That much I can tell you.
You know, my uncle who served in Vietnam, he was in Vietnam and he was in charge of helicopter repair when you mentioned that. And do you know what the number one responsibility of helicopter repair was? They had to be the first guys to go up after they fixed the helicopter. So they, you know, that's really a fascinating. Yeah. I don't know if they still have that same rule in place.
I think door gunners, and see, the problem whenever I say anything about military history with this audience is I know that if it's off, it'll
somebody
be
corrected. Will immediately blow you
right
up.
Away.
And say, no,
they'll
no,
blow
no,
the
no.
Way. Yeah. I mean, like, you try to sneak in, like, the wrong figure for, you know, German casualties in a battle in World War II. I'm going to get three angry emails.
Yes.
But I think door gunners in Vietnam were among the highest casualty percentage, you know, as per capita
yes.
occupations. Those helicopters were just magnets for enemy fire.
Well, and I just always thought that was so interesting that the way that they made sure that they did the absolute best maintenance job repairing yeah. those things getting blown up was the first people to go up in them after they got fixed were the crews that were working on
them. Helo maintenance is critical. It was one of the big problems with when we were pulling out of Afghanistan. The moment you took out U.S. contractors who weren't, the Afghans aren't going to be able to keep those helos in the sky. Everyone knows it. There's no way they're going to be able to keep the Blackhawks and other things. And now, of course, the Taliban, we'll see if they're able to keep them
yeah,
in the air,
no kidding.
Too. I mean, they'll be cannibalizing parts within, you know, 6 months, and they won't know what to do. But yeah, man, it's Band of Brothers, a great series, by the way. I mean,
that's
The Pacific
so
is great. HBO, for all of its woke madness, has done some pretty fantastic stuff, too.
So thanks to that generation, Bob Dole, obviously, we should mention Bob Dole as well, one of that greatest generation, also just in terms of a sheer resume, one of the greatest accomplishments, true American hero out of Kansas, Bob Dole, also of that generation, dying over the weekend. I mean, just a legendary man yeah. in so many different respects.
A great hero. Worth remembering that the, you know, Democrat media made him seem like he was, you know, some kind of wooden. Oh, he was too old. He was too old for the job.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Grinning
yeah.
full of, you know what, Biden is fine for the job, but actual American hero Bob Dole, oh, no. You know, let's have that, I mean, I can't even use the words on radio for him, that fellow Bill Clinton. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Unbelievable.
So, now, the opposite of Bob Dole, in many respects, Kamala Harris. An incredible transition there. So, Buck, we talked about when CNN went full attack mode on Kamala Harris. What's that, probably been a month or so ago that story came out at CNN, which eviscerated her?
I mean, I don't know if it's attack mode. I think it's
as much of an attack mode as you can get. That's what I'm kind of going with CNN and now the Washington Post, both coming out and saying things that aren't particularly surprising to anyone who has followed Kamala Harris very closely. She's not particularly likable. She's not a very good person to work
with.
So
you go Kamala.
She's not very skilled.
I've been told Kamala, but I've also heard she has said it both ways, which is...
It's fully
amazing.
Inauthentic version of... Now, that we talked about last week, Buck, that there were rumors and whispers in the White House that they were going to try to put Harris in the Supreme Court, because of course Joe Biden has promised to put a black woman on the Supreme Court. They can't get Breyer to agree to step down right now. And frankly, if he doesn't step down in the really short term, I'm not sure that the Democrats are going to be able to get anybody seated on the Supreme Court anyway. But this is just a sign of how bad it's going for her right now in the White House.
Can I just, so to put this into context for everybody, I think, you know, because Clay and I, we're not Kamala fans. I think you've figured that out, right? We're definitely not Team Kamala here, even among Democrats.
I don't even think anybody's Team Kamala.
Well, that's the point.
Yeah.
that's
there's
exactly
not a single person.
I was going to say, to put this into context, even Democrats are like, well, I'm not on Team Kamala either. To include people who work for her, and this is the truly amazing line from the piece in the Washington Post, because this really, for a lot of people, summarizes the current vice president. This is the quote, folks. I'm reading here from the Washington Post. It's clear that you're not working with somebody who is willing to do the prep and the work, said one former staffer for Kamala Harris. With Kamala, you have to put up with a constant amount of soul-destroying criticism and also her own lack of confidence. So you're constantly sort of propping up a bully, and it's not clear why, end quote. That is like
devastating.
The most, because everyone reads that and goes, yeah, I can kind of see that, because this is somebody who so much of what she would do is ceremonial. It's about the optics, right? I mean, the vice president is like a glorified, you know, ribbon cutting ceremony role a lot of the time. I mean, because we have a 50-50 Senate, it's a little different right now, but a lot of the time. And it's messaging, right, Clay? It's coordinating. It's doing things behind the scenes. She can't even manage to do that without becoming about as popular as a parking ticket. It's amazing.
Well, her presidential campaign was an abject failure. She dropped out before real votes were even cast, and she was polling less than 1% in many of the different jurisdictions in which she was hoping to be able to win the primaries. And so I don't know how the Democrats rid themselves of Kamala, right? Let me explain what I mean by that. If she is not the nominee because she is black, because she is a woman, then it will be racist and sexist. Either, Buck, and this is maybe where Stacey Abrams comes in, either they need to find a new black woman who is potentially more electable, and maybe that's Stacey Abrams. I don't know. I think Stacey Abrams, frankly, is going to lose the Georgia
election. I was going to say, she's done a great job as the fake governor of Georgia because she has no responsibility.
The difference
there
is Harris at least managed to get herself elected to the Senate, so she has a office from which to be able to be promoted to the next level. Buck, I don't understand, and I continue to come back to this. That's why I'm starting to think they may try and drag Joe Biden across the finish line again.
It's going
to
be
because
Biden.
He's the only way that they avoid having to coronate her.
I'm going to have to funnel some money to you so we can play some of those overseas political bets or whatever, Clay. Because I would put money down. Just kidding. I don't know if that's legal or not, but whatever.
it is overseas.
There we go. Because I would put money down. They're going to run Joe Biden again, guys. They'll run Joe Biden again. Mark my words. Okay.
82-year-old Joe Biden.
They will run Joe Biden again. If they have, you said push him over. If they have to literally wheel him back into the position to be, you know, I don't know if they do another, you know, whatever the ceremony will be for his second term, but whatever it may be, if they have to wheel him with three blankets across his knees and a little straw where he's getting applesauce, they don't care. They don't care. They will push Joe Biden forward because they want the apparatus of Democrat power to be where it is. They don't want to take any risk here. So the notion of replacing, I don't think they have the imagination to replace Joe Biden or the fortitude of the intestines to replace Joe Biden with Kamala. Look at who their candidate was. They had a very diverse field in the primary. They none of the diverse candidates within the Democrat Party, I mean, not including, Elizabeth. Sorry, that actually, I just stumbled into that. Not including Elizabeth Warren. None of the diverse candidates came close.
Here is the interesting question. We probably talk about this when we come back for the next segment. Would Trump be able to win by running a Joe Biden? This is, I know he's not going to do it, but just an idea for everybody as we go to break here. Could Trump win in 2024 by just running the equivalent of a Joe Biden campaign and staying at Mar-a-Lago? Because now the story is Joe Biden. Biden was able to run and say, oh, Trump, everything he did was so bad. Trump's awful. He can't solve COVID. Could Trump just basically run a low-key campaign? I know I don't think so
because he doesn't have. First of all, he's off all social media, and second of all, which he had in 2016 and was kind of a secret weapon for him. And second of all, he doesn't have 90% of the media talking about how great he is all day to do all of his work for him.
But I think Joe Biden is so bad that Biden is now the story. It's not Trump. It's how bad Biden is, and that's what Biden tried to do in 20. But it is an interesting point. Trump won't do it. But I wonder on some level whether being off social media is helping him because the people who are antagonized by his mean tweets, whoever they are not seeing them all the time. Mike Lindell, he's the inventor of MyPillow. His team fit us for our pillows and introduced us to their ever-growing list of incredible products. You can trust Mike Lindell to give you a great night's sleep. Pillows won't go flat. Wash and dry them constantly. And most important, they are made in the good old USA. And right now, for a limited time, Mike is offering his MyPillows, the product that started it all, for the lowest price ever. You can get a MyPillow for $19.98, originally $69.98. That's a $50 savings with the promo code Clay and Buck. And they're also extending their money-back guarantee until March 1st, meaning there is absolutely no risk. How do you get hooked up?
Go to MyPillow.com, click on Radio Listener Specials, enter promo code Clay and Buck to make sure you get the best possible deal. Again, that's website MyPillow.com. Click on Radio Listener Specials and enter promo code Clay and Buck. Or if you just want to call, you can do that too. 800-792-3269. That's 800-792-3269 for these great radio specials. There you'll find not only this amazing offer, but rotating discounts on 150-plus MyPillow products. From the Giza Dream bed sheets to the mattress topper, slippers, and more. Welcome back to the Clay and Buck Show. Thanks for being here with us. We have Dr. Marty McCarry with us next, an MD from Johns Hopkins, brilliant guy who just calls it like it is and is speaking the truth about where we are. I mean, he's not like an anti-Fauci, sledgehammer-swinging guy like I am. He's an MD. He's got expertise. He sees the numbers, and he says things that you won't hear for some reason from some of the Fauciites, and we want to expose you to those truths here. One of the big questions, one thing that I think we should certainly pose to the Doc Clay, is CDC's Walensky. She runs the CDC. I mean, this is somebody who, I think she was a pediatrician before, and she's a very loyal Democrat, which is quite obvious. She has been willing to say that this is likely to become an, remember, pandemic on all the people, endemic within the people, right? Meaning that it exists within a population. She says COVID is likely to be endemic.
I think that we have seen now that this is likely to become an endemic disease here in the United States and really around the world. We have many diseases that are endemic, influenza being one of them, that cause us minor challenges year after year and that we can handle and tackle. And that may very well be what happens with COVID.
So beating the virus, making it go away. Remember, people were talking about measles. Remember all the measles talk, Clay? Oh, it's just like the MMR vaccine for your kids. And people like us were saying, no, it's more like the flu shot, mandated and mandated every few months. She's admitting we were right, as far as I can see, once again.
It's never going away. That's what we've been saying for a long time. That this is, remember when they got so mad when you would say any sort of comparison to COVID and the flu? COVID is now the flu. And it's going to be here forever. And the COVID shots, at least so far, appear to be roughly as effective, somewhat, as the flu shot. And so, if you just track everything that Rochelle Walensky and others have said, everything they've said is a lie, Buck. It was only in May that they said this thing was going to disappear. Once we got to 50%, Dr. Fauci said we wouldn't see any more spikes. You don't have to wear masks anymore. Anybody, remember, it was vaccinated or unvaccinated. And now here we are with many states having their highest level of COVID despite the vaccines that are widely distributed and widely accepted.
And what do we do with the fact that we already know this is becoming every policy that is being adopted right now? The same logic will apply to its adoption when it comes to COVID in a year and another year and another year. Otherwise, someone explain how. I mean, what's the answer going to be? Oh, caseload will be low. Oh, well, we're at preemptive level now, Clay. Preemptive measures. It's not about caseload necessarily. Folks, the madness is fully here now. So we have to address it. Dr. Marty McCarry will be with us next to do that.
No doubt. And right now, a lot of you are looking for gift ideas for your friends and family. You can send them something from our friends at Tommy John. New comfy underwear, loungewear, pajamas from Tommy John. When you start your day wearing Tommy John, you're that much more comfortable. You can do everything better. Tommy John's loungewear fabric, soft tri-blend, and micro-modal material means four-way stretch, doesn't fuzz up, stays the way you first receive it. That's why they have 17 million pairs sold. This brand has a lot of fans and a lot of fanatics. We're proudly two of them, and we are going to make sure that you become a fanatic as well. And right now, you've got an incredible offer. 20% off your first order right now at TommyJohn.com/clay. That's TommyJohn.com/myname, C-L-A-Y, for 20% off. Order now so your gifts arrive before the holidays. TommyJohn.com/clay. See site for details. Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show, joined now by Dr. Marty McCarry, who is at Johns Hopkins University. He has been with us quite a bit. He is a professor there. He is the author of The Price We Pay, What Broke American Healthcare. It's been out a few months now. Dr. McCarry, appreciate you joining us. And I want to dive right in. News of the day, Bill de Blasio, New York City, mandating vaccines for 5 to 11-year-olds, effectively enabled to go do anything in the city, to go to a museum, go see Santa Claus, go to a McDonald's. Does this make any sense at all based on your knowledge of the data surrounding COVID at this point in time?
Well, I think it's going to result in unintended harm, because when you vaccinate somebody who already has natural immunity, you expose them to the risk of myocarditis and other complications. And those are very rare, but in young men and boys, it's 1 in 7,000 kids. So that, it's tragic. Look, we want to encourage vaccination, but when you do these rigid mandates, everybody freezes in their thoughts and nobody's going to be more likely to get it because they're forced to.
My kids, both my wife and I have had COVID. We've recovered from it. We believe our kids have as well, though we haven't gotten them officially antibody tested. If you know your kids have had COVID and they're young in that 5 to 11 range, would you be advising people to get their kids vaccinated? I think the answer is no, but I just want to ask you specifically on it.
Well, the science is actually pretty clear on this, because if you look at the Pfizer vaccine trial, they say that nobody who had the infection in the past tested positive in the study. And there's no scientific evidence to support vaccinating people who are already immune. And that kind of indiscriminate vaccination policy just comes from this attempt to have streamlined messaging from the public health officials. It's good for their marketing departments, makes their job easy. It's just not medically precise.
Dr. McCary, it's Buck. Getting over a cold, not COVID, thankfully, but I already had COVID. So did Clay. I have a test proving that I had COVID. And now I'm being told in New York City, starting in a couple of weeks, that one shot is not enough. We need boosters in New York to go to our jobs. It's not even just for public accommodations anymore. De Blasio announced a private sector mandate for all businesses. I just want to know, we also have CDC Director Walensky saying the disease is now endemic. So why aren't they just being straight with the public that given these realities, we are now expected to have there'll be essentially a COVID apparatus like this for years to come, perhaps for decades to come. I mean, if this disease continues to flow and we need to get continuous boosters to top us off or whatever they call it, why do we think this ever goes away?
Well, there's the absolute worst of medical paternalism that's coming out right now with no evidence to support boosters in young people. They're making these blanket recommendations using the Omicron fear to push the boosters. Now, the irony is a young person doesn't even need to get vaccinated if they have natural immunity. And now you're telling them not only do they need two doses, they need a booster. Look, I believe mammograms save lives for women over age 50. That doesn't mean I recommend mammograms for men and women and children. So we have this indiscriminate booster mentality that flies in the face of what the experts voted on just 2 months ago. Remember, the FDA experts voted down boosters for everybody by a 16-2 vote. So then the FDA decided we're going to make another run at this and push it again internally, and we're not going to convene our experts. We'll circumvent them, and that's where we get this boosters for all recommendation.
It's madness.
It is crazy. Dr. McCary, appreciate you joining us again. Johns Hopkins, encourage you to check out his book as well. What do we know? What is the latest on Omicron? I know everybody out there has been terrified. The media has done its best to convince everyone that it is an existential threat to all of us. What is the latest data that you've been able to see, Dr. McCary, and how would you suggest people adjust their behavior, if at all, based on its arrival in the United States?
I'm not concerned about Omicron. I'm a little hopeful that it's less dangerous. If it is more contagious and less dangerous, that's actually good for the world, given the alternative of Delta. So I don't think we should do anything different because of Omicron. Now, it is important to note that early data is suggesting two findings. One is that there's no severe cases so far, so it may be more mild. And the other data point is that you may be more likely to get a breakthrough infection with Omicron than with prior variants. But those are mild common cold-like illnesses. It may be 2.5 times more likely to happen that is a breakthrough infection with Omicron than prior strains. Remember, an unboosted adult in the United States has an extremely low risk of hospitalization. If you're immune, your risk of hospitalization is 1 in 26,000. And the average age of that one person is age 73. Everybody's got a different risk tolerance. We need to respect people who say, I'm okay getting a mild common cold. You know, I'm okay living with that statistic.
Dr. McCary of Johns Hopkins University Medical School, folks, and also he's an author. Check out his latest book. Dr. McCary, on the transmissibility point, because this was used as the justification initially. I mean, they keep moving the constant moving of the goalposts from the people I call Fauciites is dizzying, right? I mean, they everything changes every 3 months. You know, what do we have to do? How do we have to do it? How long does it go? But on transmissibility specifically, they told us that if you get the shot, you won't get it, you won't spread it. We know that's not true. We know that there are plenty of breakthrough infections. Do we have some sense of how the numbers stack up with that? Meaning they were telling us, oh, well, you're so unlikely to get it and spread it in July and August if you're vaccinated. But now they're telling us all to get boosters. Clearly, they're doing that for a reason. How many, how can we kind of gauge the risk of spread from the vaccinated versus the unvaccinated?
So first of all, I do recommend a booster for someone over 65 that's not had COVID and is vulnerable. It does slightly reduce an already very low risk of hospitalization.
Clay, just so you know, Doc, Clay's parents and my parents are vaxxed and boosted, and they're over 65.
Right.
So we are solidly on that message, but go ahead.
I'm glad. Now, in terms of transmissibility, your peak viral shedding, and this just came out in Lancet a few weeks ago, is the same in a vaccinated and unvaccinated person. So what we are seeing is vaccines are doing their job, downgrading the infection to a mild or asymptomatic case. That's why you're seeing case numbers continue to circulate and go up in the north where it's the viral season. These are mild common cold-like illnesses, with the exception of the small segment of the U.S., a very precise 10 to 20 million who are adults with no vaccine, no natural immunity, and they have a risk factor. Those are the people getting into trouble and still showing up and getting very sick. That's a whole different ballpark. That's a different group. We can't have society go on hold because they have chosen to make a decision not to get vaccinated, a decision I would not advise for them. But we have got the entire world economy on hold because of Omicron. We have four high-level virus labs called BSL-4 labs in the U.S. We spend a lot of money on these labs for so-called, in case we need them for bioterrorism. They could do the experiment overnight to tell us how well vaccines work against Omicron instead of this 10-day delay telling the public, we're on top of it, we're on this, we've got it taken care of, we're in close communication. Just do the experiment. It takes 6 hours. You could do it in the lab and answer all this uncertainty that's circulating.
Well, I want to go back to one thing you said a moment ago to Buck, I believe, to one of his questions. When you said that there was a 1 in 26,000 chance and the average age was 73, that's if someone has gotten the COVID vaccine or if they've recovered from COVID, right? So for natural immunity or vaccinated immunity, you're talking about a 1 in 26,000 chance of hospitalization with the average age of 73 going forward?
That's right. And that's just from vaccination. If you have natural immunity, it's probably even lower, but using other data from natural immunity. But that's pretty darn low. And that's right from the CDC's website of the weekly risk of hospitalization during the peak of Delta was 1 in 26,000 Americans who are fully vaccinated. I'm okay with that risk, personally. And if we find out who that one person is, the only state who tells us is North Dakota. The average age was 73. It probably also had special medical circumstances. What does that tell you? You can feel good about your immunity right now in the United States if you're fully vaccinated or have natural immunity.
I mean, can I just ask you, Doc, before we let you go, we're speaking to Dr. Marty McCary here. What de Blasio is saying, which is mandatory shots for kids 5 to 11 and mandatory boosters for already for the vaccinated, even, you know, across all age groups. Are there any doctors who are going to speak out against this, you think? Is anyone going to just finally, other than you and some, say that this is not science-based, this is fear-based?
We're trying. You know, the problem is it's hard to compete with Dr. Fauci. He has so much tremendous influence. He gets platformed by all the media. He's never talked about natural immunity, never talked about fluvoxamine, which is an amazing drug that's already out that reduces COVID mortality significantly. It's hard, so we're trying. But let me be very clear. There will be unintended harm to young people who are vaccinated and already had the infection because we're introducing the risk of myocarditis into a system that's already immune. By the way, a study just came out of Germany. Number of kids in total who have died of COVID, who were healthy, zero in that entire country, age 5 to 17. So we've got to put things in perspective. We've lost our minds with COVID policy. Imagine a White House briefing. Every year we get the seasonal flu variant that comes in. Oh, we have a case in San Francisco of the new influenza strain that just landed. You know, we would never have a White House briefing for that. I think we're in a good place. I think people should feel good about their immunity. And I think we should move away from mandates so we can encourage people to be immune positively rather than using the excessive reach that they're going to retaliate against, and it's going to harden them.
Dr. Marty McCarry, professor at Johns Hopkins University Medical School, author of The Price We Pay, What Broke American Healthcare. Doctor, we really appreciate you being with us. Thanks for giving us your expertise here on the air.
Good to be with you guys.
Long before any news report told you inflation was happening, you felt it. Car prices up, gasoline prices way up, rising costs of so many items in the supermarket. Some people feel the pinch more than others, but everyone agrees the dollar's not going to be growing in value, but shrinking. That's not good if you're trying to protect the value of your savings account, let alone your IRA. Gold emerges as the best protection in all of this. Buying and holding gold as a portion of your savings plan is the best thing you can do for yourself. I did it earlier this year with Oxford Gold Group. Not only did I buy gold, but I asked them to ship it to my home. That's a first-of-a-kind experience for me. Our partners at the Oxford Gold Group have precious metals that can be delivered to your home. If you think buying real gold is complicated, the team at Oxford Gold Group will explain everything to you. Having real gold delivered to your home or having real gold as part of your IRA is just a phone call away with Oxford Gold. Call them at 833-404-GOLD and learn how you can have real gold in your IRA and delivered to your door. That's the Oxford Gold Group at 833-404-GOLD, 833-404-G-O-L-D.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis Buck Sexton Show. Coming up here in the third hour, we'll have more for you on the crazy mandates going to affect in New York City. Could this affect you? What's the Biden administration going to do? Nobody likes Kamala. We got some new updates for you on that if we get to that. And I say nobody. I mean, there are a few people, CNN anchors maybe, but very few people seem supportive of the vice president these days. But somebody who is under a fair amount of scrutiny and loss of public support right now. Oh, we could fill in so many names there. Biden, the Cuomos, but maybe having the worst week yet of his professional and public life would be none other than Mr. Jussie Smollett, who we can't, we, Clay and I wanted to bring you audio of this because it would be amazing. He is currently testifying. It is closed. The trial is closed to the media, which it should not be. But the judge, I'm sure, realized that this is just, it's not only Jussie Smollett who's humiliated by this, Clay. It's the entire media apparatus, including the vice president of the United States, who was tweeting about a modern day lynching and all this stuff. I never believed this story. I had blue checks who were coming at me and saying they're experts in criminal justice. And why don't you? And I'm like, you guys are just not very smart. This is obviously not true. The part of this for me, Clay, that it was the most galling. I would actually say, I'm a little squishy when it comes to nonviolent crimes. I tend to be like, people should get another chance. You know, I'm not, you know, I don't know. I mean, I try to be a fair-minded guy, except with, you know, for nonviolent crimes. Violent crimes, I'm always like, lock them up for a long time. Sorry. Jussie lectured the country after he had been caught. Do you remember this? He walked out of the courtroom when Kim Fox, a progressive Soros-backed prosecutor in Chicago, as the progressive prosecutors are ruining the country, as we all know, making a lot of people unsafe. People are dying because of their ideas. Kim Fox tried to not just make this go easy on him, tried to make the whole thing go away, shut down the case and shut it off forever. And Jussie came out and lectured us about how he was innocent and how people should have believed him after we caught him lying. So I say the guy should go away for a few years. I say lock him up. I think he needs some time.
I think he should go to prison for years. And to the extent that we use our criminal justice system to send messages, sometimes people get prosecuted to the full extent of the law, not only because of what they did, but because of the importance of the message that needs to be sent. Look at what Jussie Smollett tried to do. He tried to inflame racial tensions and further divide an incredibly divided country already, entirely for his own benefit, based on a lie that he knew would sell and travel because of the media's obsession with finding examples of anti-white racism and trying to magnify it and make it look like a larger contextual issue in the country. And the reason why I think Jussie deserves a massive punishment is because he tried to trade on that antagonism to bolster his own his career and his own ability to make money. And as a result, I think he should have to bear the consequences of being caught in his lie more severely than your usual nonviolent criminal would.
I mean, when people are obviously guilty and then they get away with it, you generally don't expect them. I mean, OJ didn't come out after the verdict, at least not that I remember, and right away start sneering at everybody about how, you know, how could anyone have... I mean, he did later on, because he's obviously
he said he was going to find the killers, which
psychopath.
I guess he's still pursuing, yes.
Right. But, I mean, OJ, you know, obviously... No, you know what? That's a bad example, because he did say that about the real killers.
Well, I think it's interesting, Buck. Why is this trial not on television? Why is the Epstein-related Maxwell trial not on television? It seems to me that trials that can embarrass
yes.
the left-wing intelligentsia in this country find their way onto the television dial quite a bit less right. than ones where they can be validated.
To be fair, I was like 10 when the OJ trial happened. So you were, you know, old man Travis remembers it better than I do.
I mean, there's a great book before Jeffrey Toobin became the Toobinator. He wrote a great book, The People versus OJ Simpson, that I actually really enjoyed.
Are people, actually that was made into a good TV series, I saw that. Are people really calling him the Toobinator now?
That's rough. It's better than I guess maybe given that there might be some kids out there who have to get a lesson from their parents about what exactly went on there. So I'm calling himself the Toobinator.
More on the COVID madness and everything else coming up.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.